Welcome to this week's Early Stoppage. This is the pilot episode. It's a 30-minute fast-paced podcast. We cover as much as we can in 30 minutes. We try and keep it short so we can... you've got things to do. We all know you've got better things to do. So this week, my guest is Jake Super Irish Walters. That's his official nickname. He's on the MMA podcast. But before we get to him, we've got to thank all you guys for listening to this week's episode. I mean, I'm the captain. Jake's going to be the co-captain. We are going to be your pilots for the flight. And a big shout out to MMA Victor, a great fantasy mixed martial arts site. And also, any news you want, go to MMA Mental. I know that they're hosting this stuff, so big shout out to them. Huge shout out to Ray. He's coming on next week. But let's begin then, Jake. How are you?
Good, good. I'm really honored you asked me to come on the pilot episode, buddy.
I know. This is going to be a bumpy ride, but hopefully we can get it all sorted in the 30 minutes. What do you reckon?
Oh, hey, a little turbulence is always fun.
Yeah, exactly. But let's start where we should, with the biggest news of the week. We're going to shoot some things over. First of all, we're going to go through the news of the week. Then we're going to talk to you specifically, Jake, see what you're up to, see how things begun. Then we're going to do a quick fight review of the weekend. Did you see the event? You must have seen the event.
Yep, I watched it start to finish.
Nice. And then finally, I'm introducing a brand new game show. It is the Early Stoppage game show, where we will battle it out to see who cannot say a word. It's quite interesting, but stick around. Right, we were starting though with the biggest news stories of the week. The first one is Kelvin Gastelum upset Uriah Hall to end the TUF season 17 Ultimate Fighter finale. What did you think? Who did you have? Tell us your thoughts.
I mean, I was extremely happy for Kelvin being the underdog, being very young. I think he's 21. But I'm not gonna lie. Most of all, I was happy for myself, and I have not stopped bragging since, because everyone before the semifinals was saying that Salmon was gonna beat Gastelum and Hall was gonna move on. It would be Salmon and Hall. I think on the round table in the MMA podcast, we asked like four or five. It was me, Patrick, you, Jay, Chris, and everyone was picking Salmon and Hall. I was like, yo, not only do I have Gastelum winning the semifinals, I got Gastelum in the finals overhaul. I called it 2 weeks out, and I've been bragging since, because I don't think I've ever called a underdog that much of an underdog to win a fight, and he actually pulled through. So yeah, I was very, very happy to see that.
For you guys who don't really know Jake, he's the sort of person who will bet with 100 underdogs, and then one of them will win, and he'll probably brag about it. Is that fair to say?
That's very fair to say, and my career record in the playground definitely reflects that.
To be fair, though, I did follow his advice as well, and I actually did pick Kelvin. So there are.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I don't know whether it's based on your advice, whether it's just that scrappy style he's got. But yeah, I ended up picking him as well. So people were obviously feeling that Kelvin had the ability to do it, and he went out there and proved it. Did you know there's one takedown difference between them, though? How did you score it?
I scored the first and third round for Kelvin Gastelum and the second round for Uriah Hall. But yeah, I was actually a lot more confident in my Gastelum over Hall pick after I saw Andrews sort of, you know, threaten Hall on the ground, even though Hall was able to quickly sweep and get a TKO seconds later. I thought, Kelvin's not going to let you just sweep him like that. And I gave the first and third round to Kelvin, the second round to Hall. It seemed like most everyone on Twitter was in the same boat. And I gave that fight 29-28 Gastelum.
I could argue that there could have been a draw and we could have had the third, but I think you're right, Kelvin did win. The next biggest story is they're starting to put a UFC, I think it's UFC on FX or UFC on Fox 9 together. We've got two incredible welterweight bouts, Saffredine versus Lawler and Rory McDonald versus Jake Ellenberger. Who have you got?
In the Lawler Saffredine one, I actually haven't thought about it too much. I was looking it up. It's actually UFC on Fox 8 in Seattle, July 27th. So I'm sure K-Pro will be at that one. But yeah, Saffney and Lawler, you know, the guys coming over from Strikeforce. Saffney is extremely smart. His game plan against Marquardt should win game plan of the year. He was a worse fighter and won a fight simply off his game plan of just hacking away at those legs. So, you know, you got to give it up for Saffedine, and he could brew up something against Lawler. I'm not going to, you know, leave it out there, but Lawler is going to know that he's going to be aiming at those legs, and I think Lawler's just got too much power. He looked great in his first UFC fight coming back from Strikeforce. So I got Robbie Lawler. What about you?
It's interesting. You've got Saffedine, who's a very technical kickboxer, but he's rarely ever won by knockout. He's got more submissions than knockouts. And you've got Lawler, who is just a brawler. I've actually got Saffedine right now, but I'm very curious as to how he takes this fight. We've also, very quickly, who have you got just between McDonald's and Ellenberger? You've got a power puncher with incredible wrestling, but a bad gas tank. And you've got incredible cardio, work ethic, everything in Rory McDonald. But we haven't seen him in this sort of fight. Who you got?
Yeah, we really haven't. You know, his best fight is against Penn, and we don't know whether, you know, that was a motivated Penn or an unmotivated Penn, or if Penn is just not the same fighter he was back a few years ago. This will definitely be a stiffer test for Rory in fighting Jake Ellenberger. Ellenberger obviously has more experience fighting top guys in the division. He's fought, you know, Condit, Pyle, Sanchez, Campman, here on Marquardt. The list goes on and on. I do give that experience edge to Jake, and even though Rory, you know, he's a great up and coming fighter, I'm really looking forward to following him. If you do follow the MMA podcast, you will know that I think his loss to Martin Campman was a little questionable. He did get TKO'd, I will admit, but I think he dropped Martin just as hard as Martin dropped him in the first round. So I really like Ellenberger, and I think he's the best fighter in that welterweight class behind Hendricks, St. Pierre, and Condit. So I have Ellenberger over Rory in a close, a razor thin. It might be a split judge's nod.
It's going to be a close one, that's for sure. Next piece of news is we got Benson Henderson versus Melendez. We'll run through this one real quickly. Have you got Benson?
There are fights where there is a favorite over an underdog, and I say the underdog can win if he does A, B, and C. I don't see any way Gil can beat Bindo. Bindo, he absolutely took apart Nate Diaz, who is looking much better than Gilbert's looked in his last few fights. So, yeah, I don't see any way Gilbert is able to take the belt away from Benson. What about you?
I've got Benson, Henderson, UD. I agree completely. Which fight are you most looking forward to on the card?
I like a lot of them. I have an AV bet with Bubbles. I'm taking Matt Brown, and he took Jordan Mean. And the more I think about it, the less confident I am in picking Matt Brown in that. But, you know, probably the fight I'm looking most forward to is Mir versus Cormier. Do I think it's going to be close? Not really, but I think, you know, I think Bindo's going to slap down Gilbert. I think Cormier is going to win easily, and I think Nate's going to win easily. But I'm just looking forward to seeing Cormier come into the UFC. I think he's one of the top 10 pound for pound guys in the world, and I'm really, really anxious to see what he does. He's talking about moving down to 205. I've said it, you know, I think we were talking about it on the New Year's podcast. The one fight I want to see in 2013, not Silva Jones, not Silva St. Pierre. I really want to see Jones versus Cormier, and Cormier wrestled at 205, so he definitely can make the weight. That's what I really, really want to see.
That's a fight I also would really look forward to. However, I'm actually going with Diaz and Thompson. I am tempted to put money on Thompson. Very rarely do you get a wrestler who's the underdog in a fight, and I might just take them up on that. But anyway, I mean, you've spoken about your previous shows. You spoke about the New Year's show. How long have you been podcasting for? Let's talk a bit about you for a second.
Really quick, I just want to add a thing. I think a big part of Thompson versus Diaz is going to be how much Gilbert is able to train Diaz for Thompson. They've fought three times, so Gilbert knows Thompson more than anyone else, and conveniently, he's in Diaz's training camp. So if he can train him up correctly, and Diaz is ready for exactly what Thompson has to offer, that's going to weigh in Diaz's favor. But you know, it could go on Thompson's side, too. Sorry.
You're not going to be able to change my mind on that pick right now. Diaz was always shouting, Melendez is the best 155er in the world. He didn't look that great against Thompson, so I'm thinking Diaz won't either. Maybe
yeah, Thompson looked excellent against Gilbert.
That is true. But anyway, going back to yourself, tell us about yourself, man. Tell us about the MMA podcast.
Yeah, well, I started following MMA like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. It was fairly recently, and one of my college roommates who knew I was really into MMA because I drag them all out to the bars for every pay-per-view, he let me know that they were looking for an MMA writer on this website, Sports at Work. I started doing that, and Josh Webb, who a lot of people on the playground know, he joined up on the same website, which is how we met one another and how I got introduced to the playground. Then we started doing this MMA at Work show, summer 2011. And in that fall, when I started back up at school, I just really couldn't juggle a 30-hour-a-week job, a bunch of school, and the podcast, so I had to stop doing the podcast. And after a little while, I sort of felt the itch to do it again, and even more so do it on a show where I ran it and owned it and wouldn't get yelled at if I accidentally dropped the F-bomb and could actually say the F-bomb pretty gratuitously. So yeah, I started doing the MMA podcast with Chris, which is funny. I met Chris because he called in to MMA at Work. And we just kept in touch. You know, we would chat every now and then about MMA cards that were coming up on Skype and stuff. And, you know, I got the itch again, asked, hey, you know, if I did a podcast, would you be interested in co-hosting? And, you know, it sort of started up as an idea in the back of my mind I never thought I'd get around to, and I didn't for a while. I think I bought themmapodcast.com and sat on it for like 5 or 6 months before we actually did our first episode. But, yeah, I couldn't be more happy that I started to do it, because, I mean, if you would have told me, you know, we're almost into our first year, and, you know, yeah, it's almost been a year, and we've had a bunch of people. We've had Ian McCall, Chris Lieben, Misha Tate, John Anik. I could go, you know, Eddie Bravo. I could go on and on and on and on. But it's been a really, really fun ride, and I've met cool motherfuckers like you. I hope I can cuss on this. You, Ray, Patrick. You know, it's been a really fun ride, and it has only begun, my friend. I'm gonna come back on this show over and over again like a cancer.
On this show, yeah. Well, you're apparently my co-pilot, but you mentioned some interviews there. You had Ian McCall. I know that you spoke to Nate Quarry, who's always a fantastic guest. Chris Lieben. You mentioned some fantastic names. I mean, I've even heard you got somebody, perhaps an incredibly special guest that you get to talk to on Wednesday, who might or might not be fighting for a world championship.
Yeah, that would actually be tonight. It's not on the MMA podcast. But I help out our friend Ramses, who runs the Word on the Street podcast, which we mentioned the MMA podcast, MMA Mental. Go follow him out on Twitter at The Ant Jimmy Show. And Chris had to pop off the co-hosting for a while. He had job stuff to deal with, and he had to take a little sabbatical, but he will be back soon. And Ramses has been filling in. And, you know, I've sort of been doing him the same favor. He does his own podcast that I help out on that is actually tonight, and he releases them late Tuesday nights. And on that podcast, we're going to be having Front Row Brian. I'm not sure if we're having Coach Jamie Huey, who is a coach of Chael Sonnen. And I can't say for sure or, you know, whether we are or not, but cross your fingers and wish a little prayer, and we might get a certain person challenging for the light heavyweight belt at UFC 159 on the show.
Challenging being the key word there. Yeah, that is a fantastic guest. I mean, as I was trying to lead on to the question itself, who has been your favorite interview up till now? I'm not going to say, I know, of course, the next one should probably be, the next show you've ever done will probably be the next one, but what's been your favorite interview? What's been your highlight?
We actually don't have a guest lined up for this Wednesday yet, but my highlight, honestly, when we started doing interviews, I was thinking, you know, we'll try and keep it to 15 minutes, maybe 10, and if they ask to go, we'll let them go. We've had a few interviews that have gone on for a while, but my favorite one by far was the Nate Quarry interview. That was surreal. I mean, it was kind of unfortunate. Chris had an emergency and had to leave literally like an hour before the show. So it was the first show I ever did solo. And Corey came on the show, and I had questions ready, and I was ready for like a 20-minute interview. I ended up interviewing Nate Corey for an hour and a half. And it didn't feel like he wanted to get off the phone, or it was rushed, or I was trying to keep him on. It just felt like a really earnest convo. I think he was in New York filming his show on Spike, and we went into everything from his first fights to his back surgeries to growing up in a Jehovah's Witness cult, and like he literally still does not keep up with anybody from his childhood, including his own family, because they all shunned him because he's not a Jehovah's Witness. I mean, it's really, really crazy stuff, and it's at times the interview is brutally sad. I mean, he's talking about how everyone who he knows now he's met after the age of 18, and how he'll only like see his mom like one day a year, and it's still very tense, and they're still mad at him, and he's mad at them, and it's a crazy story. But he's a really, really honest guy. And that was not just the best interview we've had. That's one of the best conversations I've ever had with another person. I mean, that definitely stands out as far as people we've had come on the show. On the other side of it, the funniest, Chris Lieben, listen to that. He tells a story about him and his mom using a chainsaw to cut up a rotted out deer carcass, his uncle shooting himself in the foot trying to shoot rats in a storage unit. He has some very interesting stories.
The guy is hilarious. I've had a chance myself to talk to Chris Lieben on the MMA Mental Show, and he is fantastic, man. But Nate Quarry, I've had the pleasure to listen to him, but I've got to go back and listen to your one. First time I saw TUF, I didn't really know what he was about. Everybody wanted to keep him on the show, but he's a fantastic guy. He really is very humble and very down to earth. Where can people listen to this? You haven't told them where. I know that it's the MMA podcast.
Oh, that's right.
Where
should go? We're on iTunes and YouTube if you want to listen to any archived episodes. I would say YouTube would probably be better because we have a bandwidth limit on iTunes, which means we have to sort of erase old episodes as we load new ones. So YouTube doesn't charge anything for bandwidth because they're badasses. So just YouTube, literally just YouTube, the MMA podcast, and it'll pop up, and you can follow our channel. Definitely subscribe, and we have a few playlists, you know, with clips of interviews or just episodes of the Roundtable, episodes of the MMA podcast. That night, actually, if you want to listen to the whole episode with Nate Quarry, by far the longest episode out like we've ever done. We try and keep both the MMA podcast and the MMA roundtable at 2 hours, even though it is a lot. You know, when you podcast, time just flies. This episode went 4 hours. By far the longest episode, and bonus, the last 45 minutes of it, I'm blackout wasted. So check out the episode with Corey. Luckily, I was sober for the interview, and then I had both Ramses and our friend Miller call up, and we all just started talking MMA, and I started doing a little drinky-drinky, and next thing you know, I wake up the next morning, and I'm like, holy shit, I don't remember the last 45 minutes of doing that. So, yeah, definitely listen in. And I actually haven't even listened to it because I was too embarrassed. So listen to me make an ass out of myself.
Well, I'll listen to it for you and let you know how I thought it went for sure.
Appreciate it.
Sounds like you've had a great time. Man, I've got to get back into interviewing the stars. I mean, you're a great start, but, man, I've got to talk to Corey myself at one stage. He really is a fantastic guy.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
Right, we should only get on to the review of this weekend's
Definitely, fight. Definitely.
Yes, because there is a lot to talk about, but of course this is a quick fire show. So we're going to go straight into the main event, Faber versus Jorgensen. What did you think?
This was another one of those fights like Bendo Melendez. I didn't see any way Jorgensen could win. And, you know, I mean, props to lasting four rounds, but, you know, once he got his back in that fourth round, I was like, night. I was going to say I turned off the television because I knew the fight was over, but that would be a lie because I did not do that. I watched the post-fight show. But, yeah, it was a pretty predictable result.
Yeah, I also had Faber. I think I originally was debating UD throughout the week, but in the end I managed to change it to the first round submission, and that just wasn't happening. It's closer than I thought, much closer than I thought.
I think I had a second round sub.
Yeah, I think people expected the alpha male choke guillotine at some stage, but it didn't come, so whatever. We would normally talk about a main card fight. Originally, I was going to talk about Kelvin versus Uriah. However, we kind of discussed that, so we've got to talk about Tate Zingano. These women are living up to the...
Yeah, they are.
They're fantastic. Screw these little kids, you know, screw these 125ers. We want to see more women. What did you think of that?
Shoot, screw welterweights, middleweights. This fight was absolutely fireworks. I was rooting for Miesha Tate, but it's hard not to root for Kat, too. So, you know, I definitely was on the Tate side of it because we've interviewed her. But you gotta like that payback. I think it was either the end of round one or two, but Tate has side control on Kat, and the round ends. And as Miesha gets up, she sort of puts her palm into Kat's face and pushes off and kind of pushes her face into the ground to stand up. And Kat comes after her, you know, walks at her after that, and the ref kind of stops her, and Miesha doesn't even turn around. I gotta respect Kat. I mean, I know, you know, she's got her own brand, Zingano Muay Thai, but those knees, that was such a visceral picture of her walking away. You can see blood all over Misha's face and blood all over Kat's left knee, and you don't need an explanation of what happened.
That was, yeah, I completely agree. That was an absolutely crazy fight. Very fun and entertaining. And we say these women can't finish. Kat Zingano. There is one other thing I've got to say, though. You guys in the MMA podcast roundtable, I'm also on that show for anybody who's listening. I said that this Zingano girl, she could probably beat Rousey, but I didn't think she'd get through Tate. Well, she got through Tate. Now I'm starting to debate whether I got one thing wrong and the other thing right. How do you think she fares against Rousey?
You know, even though Tate went to three rounds with Kat and only one with Ronda, I still feel like Tate-Ronda was a closer fight. I mean, Tate, you know, Tate and Ronda, those were excellent grappling exchanges, and eventually at the very end of the first round, Ronda was able to grab that arm, even though she never really was in any trouble. Kat Zingano looked ferocious, and I mean, if, you know, Ronda Rousey is already in pretty rarefied air. She is an absolute beast. But, you know, if there was anything Kat could have done to generate interest in her fight against Ronda Rousey, it was going out there and doing what she did against Miesha Tate. That was incredible.
It was absolutely fantastic and a great statement for herself. The other fight I want to talk about, I do always want to try and incorporate prelims into this show purely because, you know, they are half the card, and we always seem to get locked up on the main card and the main event. The one fight on the undercard that I did enjoy was Cecilia versus Blanco. What did you think about that? It seemed to me that Kim Winslow might have messed around with it a bit. She didn't seem to get involved when she should have done. What did you think? I mean, I think the better fight won personally, but I was rooting for Sam. How did you see it?
I was rooting for Maximo just because I picked him on the playground, but both of them, you know, you love fights where both guys are coming off losses. I think Blanco was coming off two to Brimage and Healy, Cecilia one to Ronnie Jason, and they were both pretty much fighting for their careers. Blanco definitely would have been cut if he would have lost. Cecilia might get cut, he might not. But, yeah, both of them were scrapping. I had, you know, it was definitely an enjoyable fight. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, same. I think still personally, I think Kim Winslow might have missed a few knees. I mean, the knee, one was to the shoulder, but the other thing that really threw me off was there was a lot of cage grabbing. And Blanco in the past has been questioned as a dirty fighter. But anyway, I do think the better man won, and he did win the decision either way. I hope Cecilia isn't cut. He's a bomb dropper, and that's what we like to see. But in your opinion, who stole the entire show? Who was the one guy you thought, screw that guy, or whatever? Who impressed you the most? We'll go with that.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I want to screw any guys, but...
In case.
We talked about Kat and Kelvin Gastelum already. I was extremely impressed by Clint Hester. That KO was brutal. You know, he didn't really impress too much on the Ultimate Fighter losing in the first round to Jimmy Quinlan, but man, he kind of showed. Maybe Jones should have given Hester that wild card spot instead of Bubba, because Hester looked incredible. That elbow KO on Bristol, who we've had on the MMA podcast, so I was sad to see that. But that was Anderson, like that vicious one elbow that left Bristol falling to the mat. That was really impressive.
Yeah, I don't think anybody saw that coming. I have to agree. There was one moment, though, where I was going mad. I was shouting at the TV, tap, tap, and that was Dylan Andrews punching Jimmy Quinlan in the face. I mean, we saw him submit to strikes in the show. He clearly wasn't going to submit to strikes again, but Dylan Andrews, man, must have tested him. What did you think of that fight, real quickly, because we want to move on to the early stoppage game show. What did you think? Did you think he was going to tap?
Yeah, he was coming out with that Al-Qaeda beard, too. I didn't think he was going to tap. I think Quinlan... I really hope he gets another UFC fight, because I think he has underrated jits. He obviously has holes in his game, but no, I didn't think he was going to tap. I've talked to him, man. I'm not going to trash him. Come on, son. Show him some respect.
We just saw him tap on the show.
Yeah, it's never good if you pull a shogun and tap to strikes, especially Huas was the worst, because he not only tapped to strikes, but he tapped to strikes like 2 seconds after Jones turned around and walked away. Yeah. Oh, that was the best.
Speaking of, I mean, that was a late stoppage, but we got an early stoppage game show for you. I had to pull some kind of pun. I mean, this is starting off. Right, this game show is basically you can't say a word. Both players must answer a big MMA question without using a word. You can't also use yes or no. An example of this would be something like describe what a knockout is without using the word concussion, which becomes very difficult very quickly, especially where you are asking questions back and forth. You're trying to answer a question, then the word is coming up in your head, especially once you already know what the word is. Basically, this is going to go on for 3 minutes because we are running out of time today. But do you understand the rules, Jake?
Yeah. Should I start a timer on my phone or something, or do you have it on your end?
Down. Basically, the way it works is we're going to work for 3 minutes. If neither of us can get the other person to say yes, no, or the word, then they are declared, both people are declared a draw. However, if the person does say it, then the host or the guest, you are the guest this week, Jake. I hope you appreciate that.
So
I hope you will understand. I hope I've explained it. I'm not very good at explaining things.
Yeah, it's basically like that. What, it's not password, like we aren't trying to guess a word, but you know, I think it's an improv game. You try and hold a conversation about a certain topic, and you can't say a buzzword relating to that topic.
Yes, I need to get that written down word for word so I can explain it to the next guest. But the topic this week is with the whole Ultimate Fighter theme. The UFC has approached you, or us, to create a new reality TV show, a mixed martial arts show, of course. Describe what you like with the current show and the new ideas. The word, or words, are Ultimate Fighter, and of course you can't say yes or no. So, I guess, should we get the timers ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, this is going to be hard for me, so I might lose it straight away, but we'll go... Right, three.
Haha, you just said you might lose it straight away. That's a sexual joke.
Right, ready, steady, go. The current show is very interesting. I mean, this last season has been absolutely fantastic. I've loved the knockouts. I've loved that they've made the weight classes go up a bit. They put on some fantastic new themes, like they're bringing the families in. What did you think about the show?
Yeah, it was definitely a new style of filming.
Oh, you said yeah.
Wait,
it was definitely a new style of filming.
I thought I just couldn't use a one-word answer. Like, I couldn't just say yes and then pass it back to you. I thought that's what you meant by yes or no.
Doubt, and we will say that was a practice, all right?
I didn't know I couldn't use those words. Like,
so you can't say yes, no,
outright. Oh, all right. Well, let me rephrase. I liked the documentary style they used. It was definitely different than the last few seasons. Thinking about how they could improve things, I'm really trying to think. You know, they're definitely taking a huge step in having both men and women in the house. You think that's gonna stir things up?
It will be interesting. Rousey said recently that there was going to be no sex allowed.
However, you just said no.
No sex allowed, didn't I? Oh my god! Well, we can't keep going. We're going to have to say that we didn't go to the decision. Oh my god!
Hooray. I win. Jay loses the game, and I win. Everybody.
Well, we're going to have to get better at this then. But yeah. That was interesting. I'm going to have to find out a new rule. So how am I going to have to word this in the future?
I think instead of having yes and no, just have like a few buzzwords. Like with the new reality show, have both Ultimate Fighter and have filming and have Dana White, or with injuries have concussions, have, you know, I don't know, yeah, old age, have TRT, I don't know.
I will put yes and no and variations. Yeah, does that work? So the yeah wouldn't count and no or no wouldn't count.
We'll figure it out later, because I think we're boring people.
Yeah, probably, but either Well, I've absolutely loved this. It's been, I hope it's been within the half an hour. It probably hasn't. We've probably
It was we're at 34 minutes right now.
Oh, that's perfect. All right. Well, I really thank you for coming on this week, Jake. You are super Irish. That is your new nickname.
It was an honor, man. I really appreciate you asking me to have me on the first ep.
No, it's fine. It's no problem at all. I'm going to have to get you back at some stage because I will run out of fans or people who want to talk to me at some stage. But you can follow. I know that you're on Twitter, and I think you're followable. So you are at Jake Walters, or if you do want to listen to some of his shows, it's at the MMA Podcast.
Yeah, it's at Jake Walters with a Z, and yes. At the MMA Podcast, themmapodcast.com. Check us out on iTunes and YouTube, and I'm really looking forward to this show and hearing more voices behind people on the MMA playground. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You're going to get a lot of crazy people. At some stage, you're going to get my kickboxing instructor down. He's going to tell you crazy stories about, just embarrassing stories about myself. He knows me too well. But we'll get him on later.
Has he fought Daniel Guida?
No, he hasn't. I've got one last question for you, and that is, why the hell have you got a Z at the end of your Twitter name? At Jake Walters with a Z. Why? Go on.
Because the S was taken.
Oh man, you need to get that.
And no, I actually did send Twitter an email because, of course, it isn't taken by someone actually using it. It's taken by someone who like set it up in like 08 and put like balls and has one tweet and zero followers. I was like, hey, you know, I have a radio show and everything. You think I could have the Jake Walters with an S? I didn't even get a response. And I've played around with it. I was Jake Walters 12. I was other things, but now I'm going with a Z because I'm looking for jobs and I'm trying to make it so people can't find me, which is smart because I'm Jake Walters, normal spelling on the playground, so any potential employers can go on and see me writing horrible, disgusting things about people and things and items. It's a good time.
Well, if you want to be one of those people to check them out, just, yeah, as we've said, at Jake Walters. But anyway, guys, thanks a lot for listening. Next week's guest, we're going to have Ray Thompson from MMA Mental. He spoke to a lot of fantastic people. He's also been going for over a year now. And that should also be a very fun show. I want to thank you very much for coming on, Jake.
Love you. Love you.
Yeah, love you too. And, well done on beating me at my own game. All right, see you guys later.